Good morning. This is Lance Kenmore with the Kenmore team, and I'd like to welcome you to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. As always, you can contact me, Lance Kenmore, anytime direct on my cell phone at 727-8977 or visit us on the web at kenmoreteam.com. Once again, I always like to thank John for hosting and everybody here at the station for working to make this happen. John McKay, how you doing?
Good.
Yeah, good. Taking advantage of our sunshine and not too crazy temperatures. It's been pretty good. You like it? Okay.
Yes.
Are you still baseballing over there?
Finished up.
Oh, nice.
We were in Hillsboro, Oregon, and now we are officially done with KN tournament season.
Well, fantastic.
Then comes good kid football and fall baseball.
Hey, that's okay. That's okay, though. You got through the gist of it.
Mm-hmm.
We have back in the studio with us Mr. Mike Denslow at Homebridge. Mike, how you doing?
Doing good, just getting ready for boat races and taking care of home loans and just big juggle.
It's that time of year for you for sure. So I was looking at our closing numbers, and we were doing over one a day in July. I mean, it's just been boom, 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 which generally means, you know, there's a little bit in real estate from under contract to closing. So, you know, that when you have a huge, huge closing month, a lot of times people are like, well, aren't people on vacations and gone? And isn't July a little bit slower? Well, one side of the business sometimes is, but the other side is all of those contracts we wrote in April and May and new construction, those are all closing this month.
Well, and the other thing to think about is there's a lot of people on vacations, but there's still a lot of people who live here.
Yeah, absolutely. So it is still a very, very busy market. And speaking of boat races, so I got to tell you a great story. So I was last week, I had gone and my daughter had qualified for USA Hockey's national camp. So shout out to Mia. She's fantastic. She is my daughter, but she's also an amazing hockey player. Well,
completely unbiased.
Yes, completely unbiased. Well, I was coming back.
Oh, I get it.
I was at the Minneapolis airport and I hand the gal my ticket and she goes to grab my bag and she goes, "Oh, you're going to Pasco?" She goes, "Gosh, let me think." She goes, and she was probably in her 40s, and she goes, "Pasco. You know, I went to some airplane races there." And then she goes, no, that's not right." She goes, "Wait, they were like airplanes, but they were boats on the river." And so here I am in Minneapolis, and she goes, "I haven't thought about that place in years." And so she's living, you know, back there in Minneapolis and sees the ticket when I check in. I thought, man, that is some powerful branding, you know, 35 years later. She said when she was a little kid, and she remembered it to this day. So,
yeah, a lot of people call us Hydro Town within the hydro community.
Okay.
And just that's what we're known as.
Because we have the best course.
That's right.
Well, yeah.
The best river, the best course, the best volunteers, the best event.
The best weather.
Completely unbiased.
Unbiased again. So that was fun time of year, and it was just really cool to see that, you know, so far away from home. So that was a lot of fun. Well, before we jump into today's real estate topic, we always like to start with our crazy celebrity real estate story.
And Lance, I just saw the title of the article, and this sounds crazy.
It does sound crazy, Mike. Mike is like, I was laughing when the intro to the show came up. I had to hold it together to get through because Mike made me laugh right before the show because he had read Kanye West, the headline, cares about Star Wars themed affordable housing. So this coming off the realdeal.com, Kanye West, definitely known for outrageous headlines in the news a lot, but he recently announced in an interview that he has plans to build a real estate empire. And I will tell you that the quote he said was, I'm going to be one of the biggest real estate developers of all time. Like Howard Hughes was to aircrafts and Henry Ford was to cars. So, yeah.
Well, okay, like Henry Ford, but Howard Hughes, right. Spruce Goose.
Yeah.
And you said Kanye West Empire. Is that where the Star Wars things comes back?
It must be. So it's crazy. So his first project, he wanted to be affordable housing, which we're talking about a dichotomy here of stories that are crazy. So the first project, he wants to be affordable housing. So he wanted to make smaller homes like the hut that the childhood home of Skywalker was in. This was his inspiration.
Oh my gosh.
So his creativity level there is a little bit different than mainstream, which he's known for doing. So he actually took, he has a little bit of history with design. He actually appeared as Harvard Graduate School of Design. He was addressing their class back in 2013. He did work with some architects to renovate a 14,000 square foot office building, which are the headquarters of his company, Yeezy Studio. Yeah. And the Yeezys, now he has started an architecture arm to that called Yeezy Home. Which Mike is generally known as like $400 to $1,000 sneakers. So it's kind of interesting that his architect firm is starting their project with affordable housing.
Well, the word affordable is the thing that sticks out, correct? Yeah.
It sticks out. So anyway, we will be keeping an eye on that. I don't know exactly what to think, if this is a fake news headline grab, but I mean, it is something that he was quoted as saying, but I've seen him quoted on a lot of things.
I was going to say, this is a real estate story that is probably far, far away.
Nice Star Wars reference there, Mike. I love it.
Pew, pew.
Moving on to our actual local real estate stories. It's always a lot of fun because throughout the week, Mike and I are collecting trends and things that we're seeing happening in the market and then bringing those to the show as the show topic to really keep it local and real for what we're seeing right now. And so this week, the theme that kept popping up to me, and we got a number of calls of people asking about new construction and specifically talking about representation in new construction and helping them guide them through that process. We had a number of calls where clients had maybe they weren't even thinking about it or considering it, and they jump in their car and they're driving out around, you know, West Pasco, a lot of new development going on out there, and they're over in South Kennewick at Southridge, and they call me up on Monday or Tuesday and they're like, Lance, I want you to come take a look at our house because we're thinking about selling. And we've also found a house that we're thinking about building. In fact, we're getting close to signing the contract on that. And I'll say, whoa, okay. Hold on, you know, did this just happen this weekend, or where are we at in the process? And they'll say that they'll be like, well, we were thinking about it, but we just ran into this one build site that we really liked, and they have the only plan we're interested in. And so a lot of times I'll just say, okay, let's back up a little bit here and slow that process down a little bit. Talk to me. Is it the plan you liked? Is it the lot you liked? Is it the builder you liked? And so then I kind of help them in that process. And a lot of people don't realize that is a huge added value in new construction that we give our clients. A lot of times people think, well, I just met with the person that was out there on the site on Saturday at the home, and
they seem nice.
And I just thought that's who I had to go with.
That's right.
And so one of the things that we do is we like to talk to people about the idea of representation and having somebody in your corner. And so I'd written down some notes, and the very first note that I wrote down was we can help you find a reputable builder. And it very well may be that that person you were with and met is extremely reputable. But they also have an obligation to that builder, many times work for that builder, are paid by that builder. A lot of times they have an obligation legally to represent the builder's best interests and not walk you through a scenario that shows you all of your options versus just their options. And so one of the things we like to do is sit down with our clients and say, and a lot of times the result is the same, except for the way you enter into that contract is slightly different, because when you're looking through the lens of what's the best thing for my buyer, a lot of times we look at things a little bit differently. There might be one or two contract terms that are a little bit differently. And 95% of the time, the cost to you as the buyer in that situation does not change. In fact, many times, a lot of times, there are builder promotions going on out there. And at Kenmore Team, just so you have your own representation, we'll match those builder promotions. So a lot of times, that local agent will say, well, if you write up this contract, you know, with me today, we'll give you $500 off your closing costs, or we'll give you a percentage off of your closing costs. Well, the beauty of that is we so believe in the representation model that if somebody feels a slightly pressured in those situations to do that, give us a call, because like I said, 90-95% of the time we'll end up matching those promotions, and a lot of people don't know that about what we do. So that was the number one thing that I wrote down, was helping you find a reputable builder. And then the second thing I wrote down is that we'll go to bat for you. So versus having the difference between having a mediator and someone on your side can be a big difference in a transaction. Another thing that happens a lot of times too is people just want to double check. They're like, hey, the builder is telling me that this is normal. I've only ever built one other house. Or maybe I've only ever bought an existing house before and I've never built one. And so a lot of times we get the backside of the horror stories where people will come to us and be like, hey, the builder just told us this was normal, but we had only ever done this one other time, or we had never built new construction. Well, we've done hundreds of new builds. And so we can sit down and say, okay, well, this is not normal, but this would be more like normal. It's not normal to do a $50,000 non-refundable deposit on a $150,000 build.
Mm-hmm. That has skipped town written all over it.
And so a lot of times, and that is a real example of things that we have seen. And so a lot of times we'll come across that. And so our job in those situations is to give you that buyer representation to go through that. And so the third thing that I had written down too comes down to the big question. And a lot of times people say, Lance, I don't want to end up owning two houses at the same time. So with this new construction model, I'd like to plan it so that we're closing on our new home. And then prior to that, or in some cases, even simultaneously, we've got our previous home sold. And so there's a juggling act there, and that is a very, very difficult thing to hit. But when we don't control the other side or don't know about what's going on the other side, a lot of times it makes it even harder to help you on the sales side. So we like to get together with people, counsel them through that process, and take a look at what that means to them. Another big part of that, the first thing that I want to talk about when we come back on the break, is looking at financing in the new construction realm, a little bit of the things that are different, and Mike's going to talk to us about that.
Yeah, I'm sitting here listening to the topic going, okay, I have the same people asking me, well, when do I need a construction loan? When am I just buying it from the builder? This all plays hand in hand.
Absolutely. When we come back from the break, we're going to pepper Mike with some of these questions about what goes on in new construction financing.
Right here on News Talk 870.
The houses are rocking, don't bother knocking. The houses are rocking, don't bother knocking.
Welcome back to the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We have been talking about the new construction process because right now, I mean, let's face it, in the Tri-Cities, we've been looking at a couple different months here of lower inventory, you know, and that's been that way for the previous 2.5 years. So a real, real popular choice right now is that for people to use some of that move-up equity in the house that they've had for the last couple of years and then transfer that to a new construction build. So people ask me all the time, they're like, gosh, why do I see so much building going on in the Tri-Cities?
Yeah.
And they're putting all these houses up. And the simple answer is because they're selling, McKay.
Yeah.
So
it's called supply and demand.
Supply and demand. And the demand has been there. In fact, to the point where in 2.5 years, we have not been able to get back to equilibrium in that process. And so that's driven a lot of the new construction. Before the break, we talked a little bit about some of the things to consider. And so one of those things that comes up is helping folks review their contract. I just can't stress enough how this can be helpful to a client. A lot of times we find in the digital world, taking the time to slow down and helping explain what's in a contract to a client is really, really important and sometimes kind of a lost art. So one of the things we talk about is efficiency and where technology has helped make those changes. And so I'm the first one to champion those efficiencies and to talk about how we can do that. But I have noticed in the last probably year and a half, you reach an equilibrium there also to where the efficiencies are sometimes negatively affecting the people in the transaction. And what do I mean by that? Well, I mean, a lot of times what you would do in the old days is you would come and you would schedule an appointment to come to my office, and we would have an 18-page contract, and back then it was probably only 10 pages, unfortunately, or fortunately, however you want to look at it. But we would sit down and we would say, okay, I'm going to sign page one. And the client would say, well, geez, Lance, what am I signing here? And so you'd say, okay, well, let's talk about the major terms on this page and what we're dealing with. And we would sign page two. And okay, let's talk about what terms 5, 6, and 7 say on this page. And we would go through that process and spend about an hour and a half going through that and talking about that and going through situations. Well, what happens a lot of times in today's world and digital world is a client will say, hey, well, thank you so much. Yeah, I love that house. I want to put the offer in for ABC. But I tell you what, I'm going to run, grab some dinner, and then I'm going to go home. And why don't you just send it to me so I can review it in the comfort of my house, and then I'll get back to you. And so you draw up roughly what you've talked about. You send it over and you say, okay, let's go ahead and sign that contract. But I need to talk to you about some of the things in there that you're signing. And the client will say, yeah, you know what? I already read through it. It looks perfect. And what happens is maybe they didn't read through it all. Maybe they're just saying that. And it's really easy in that program, McKay, to go click, 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 and sign 17 pages in about 35 seconds.
Yep.
But we know in that situation that they didn't read through all the terms, or if they said they understood it, they likely didn't. So the same thing happens in new construction with builder contracts. And so there's a lot of great builders out there and that are really good about meeting with the client at the model and then going through all those terms. But there's some that aren't quite as good with that. And so they're sending out those contracts and not fully explaining what's happening in there. So those are some of the big things that we look after in the new construction market. The other big thing that we talked about briefly before the break is the financing of that. And Mike, a lot of times we'll have clients come to us and say, gosh, we found a house that is, you know, a floor plan that we like, and here's the builder that we're working with, and I think we need a new construction loan.
Or they say, oh, I want to build this house and I'm going to sell my house, but we only want to move once.
Absolutely. And so you, on the financing side, are like, holy smokes, we need to talk about some stuff.
Yeah, we need to look at how much equity they have. We need to look at all of their normal credit, income, assets, those kind of things. Can you buy the house without selling your house?
And yes. And so if your primary driver is I only want to move once, are you comfortable getting your new construction house done? Can you be approved for that?
Yep.
And then making the move and owning two houses and potentially having two mortgages for a couple months when it overlaps.
Right. So that's the plan B. Because I'm a lender, we have to plan for worst case scenario, right? It doesn't sell, and so you need to have two. Can you do that? So again, it goes back to education. Educating them on all the numbers. If I can approve them for that, great. But do they want to take on that risk? And then let's say we move forward and they do sell their house in the middle and it simultaneously closes and everybody's happy. Well, then great. That's just better. Another term that we talk about a lot that some people don't know exactly what it means is locking in an interest rate. And I just had this conversation this week and I went through and said, well, if you put this minimum down and we're locked in, does that, you know, that doesn't necessarily mean that that's you have to have that loan amount. It just means you're locked into that day's rates. So if then, let's say you're going to do a 30-year, you get pre-approved and you're moving along and your house sells, well, now we want to put more down and do a 15-year. Okay, yes. Well, we just go back to the day that we locked and we look at the 15-year rates that day. So locked doesn't have to mean, you know, that loan amount, that interest rate. You can move around within that particular day's interest rate.
Oh, that's super cool. Okay, that's fantastic. And yeah, and things, sometimes people change their mind midstream. I mean, I've had a lot of people tell me, they're like, well, Lance, I think I just want to get, I had a client just last week, now that you mention it, said, I think we want to get an equity line on this house we're moving to and do that. And so they went in and they talked to Mike. They're like, well, it turns out to be way more expensive to do it that way. And it's harder to get an equity line on a second property than a first property. You know what? Come take pictures of the house and let's just sell it now. And so sometimes I get that call also. And so talking to you and the lending side can really help clarify those decisions.
Well, we can give options. I mean, when you just think you know what you want to do, that's one thing. But when you're actually educated to what all the options are for your particular scenario, then you can make educated decisions, right?
Yep.
Based on facts.
Absolutely. And Mike, the other thing I run into in the industry a lot is people, the difference when they're buying a new construction home from a builder versus a new construction loan to do a custom build. I think there's a lot of confusion there that those are two different things.
Absolutely. So there's production builders out there that have land already tied up and you're going to go in and you're going to say, I want this plan on this lot, this color, da 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 da. They build you the house and you give them some earnest money and then you get a loan in the end. But the custom construction loan is where I want this builder to build on this land that I found, and normally that's going to be a construction loan, and that's definitely different than just buying a house in a development, because a custom construction loan, there's, you know, it's never the builder's house. Whereas with the spec builder, it is their house until the very end you buy it. But if you buy the land and then you have this builder build you this house on this land, it's always your house and the land and the banks involved and the builders involved. And so there's a lot more going on and a lot more meetings that need to take place in those situations.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I've seen your team work in both of those situations. I know you guys do a fantastic job there. And so, yeah, it's really just a matter of how can we accomplish the client's goals in the most commercially reasonable manner for them?
Yeah, I always say, have you thought about this?
Yep.
Have you thought about this? I had some people this week that made great money, found a house, and they were going to put the money down on it. And I was like, well, wait a minute. Are you going to sell your house? Oh, we don't want to do a contingent offer. Okay. And I kind of went through those scenarios and we looked at even putting a little bit less down and looked at doing possibly a line of credit with it. So that when they sold their house, they could just pay off the line of credit. I mean, we just...
Yeah.
Doesn't mean you need to do any one of those, but just knowing they exist helps.
Mike, that is absolutely awesome, awesome, great advice. Folks, in the new construction realm, there's a couple things to think about. And before the show, when I was prepping for the show earlier this week, I walked around the office and I talked to my closing coordinators and everybody. And I said, hey, in the last 3 weeks, what have you seen in new construction that I need to talk about on the radio? That's happening. Two things that they said are happening just time and time again in new construction. Number one is my closing coordinator turned and said, oh my gosh, tell buyers to get home inspections on new construction. Now, she deals with that all the time, every day, and she said, things happen. She's like, we have seen pipes leaking. We have seen code violations. We have seen gas lines leaking in the last 3 weeks. And so she said, just because it's new construction doesn't mean it's going to be perfect when it's turned over to you. And that doesn't necessarily mean it was a bad builder or thing. It's just they're not hands on every single piece of that house. And so it's a big, complicated project. Some things can get missed.
Yeah, I heard no insulation in the attic.
No insulation in the attic. And so the sheetrock guys did their job. The painters did it. Got sealed up. And the builder didn't. He wasn't trying to cut corners. No reputable builder in Tri-Cities. It's just, it was missed.
Yep.
You know, the sub came out. They thought they had it. And so, yeah. So a home inspection, even in new construction. So that was another tip that got written down. And then the other one that came to light was upgrades with appraisal. And so a lot of people are like, well, what are you talking about? And so this is really important to have a discussion with Mike and his team in conjunction with Mike and his team, your agent, and the builder. Because a lot of times, for instance, you might be on a street that has 10 houses that are very comparable. And of those 10 houses, none of them had backyard landscaping. It just wasn't. They all sold for, let's just use 300,000, nice round number. They all sold for 300,000. Builder did not include backyard landscaping. There's fantastic comps. You and your agent write up a contract and you say, you know what? I want the prices have been appreciating the last month or two. I want the backyard done so I don't have to worry about it.
And let's add a fence.
And so I want to wrap this into my loan. So Lance, let's offer, instead of 300, let's offer 320 for that home because it's about $20,000 in fencing and landscaping. And let's write that contract up. And so we say, okay, great. Well, I'm going to put 10% down. I'm doing a loan. Mike told me I'm putting 10% down. So I'm putting $32,000 down. And so this is not going to be a problem at all. And the appraiser comes back and the appraiser says, gosh, I have 10 amazing comps here at 300. I do see that you're putting a fence in and stuff, but the way my formulas work, I think I can only appraise the house at 305. And so the buyer is like, oh, and so the builder is like, you know, I need you to bring in the cash for the extra $15,000 because we did the fence in the backyard. And so it was 320 and now you can only get a sales price of 305. And the buyer's like, well, I don't have that extra money.
I don't have the difference.
I don't have the difference.
Well, in a lot of cases, the builder will require a non-refundable on the ads.
Deposit.
Yeah, above.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so now the buyer is saying, well, that money I'm not going to get back. And now I don't have enough for my down payment.
So now I would look at it and I would run numbers for them at 5% down. And now all of a sudden, well, I don't want a payment that high because that changes everything.
Yes. And so before you decide, and I talked to a few people in my office about that, before you decide on your upgrades, and what is going into those as far as your deposit, we need to have a worst case scenario discussion with your agent and the lender, and say, okay, if the appraisal was here and did not include the upgrades, what is our backup plan? What are we going to do
plan
then?
B, I think I just mentioned
Mike
that.
Just mentioned that. So Mike's going to run the numbers and say, well, you're at the lowest possible down you can go for your credit score. There is no plan B. This is a terrible idea. Or he's going to say, you have some room here. We could make it work like this. Gosh, everybody in that case, and especially as an agent, I sleep better at night knowing that we have a feasible backup plan. And otherwise, maybe we just maybe we're not going to get that backyard done and we're not going to get that fence done. You're going to have to close on the house at where we think the appraised price will come in at, and you're just going to have to beg your father-in-law to come help you with that. And so those situations happen. So like we said, with new construction, I'm going to jump into our pick three real quick, but a lot of talking, a lot of options. We'd love to walk you through that before you sign a contract. Go to kenmoreteam.com, shoot us a message. Real quick, though, we talked about inventory. I'm going to give an abbreviated pick three here, but 2229 Camas. This is North Richland location, 4-bed, 3-bath Rambler with a basement, almost 3,000 square feet, just blocks from the river. Awesome, awesome property at $347,500. Here's a property, too, in that price range that is hard to find. 817 South Fruitland. This is a 3-bedroom, 1-bath Rambler. Quiet lot, cul-de-sac neighborhood, just over 1,200 square feet, hardwood floors, has some of the original hardwood floors that could be refinished, fully updated kitchen, 24 by 14 attached one-car garage plus off-street parking, great starter home or investment opportunity, $220,000. Another right there in that same price point, 310 Edith Street in Burbank. This is a 3-bed, 2-bath, 1 acre in Burbank, 1,846 square feet. That also coming in at that price point of $219,000. If you have any questions about that, shoot me a message. I hesitated bringing that one because I thought I saw some emails flying this morning about potential offers. But if you have any questions about if something's still available or some of this great new inventory that's coming on, shoot us a message at kenmoreteam.com. And otherwise, we will be right back here next weekend, boat race weekend. We're still going to kind of try to squeeze in here. Get ready for the races, and we'll be talking to you next week.
Right here on News Talk 870.